people hear their own inner voices with great clearness, and they live by what they hear. Such people become crazy, or they become legend.
Beer Coaster Toby, Beer Coaster Mike, and Beer Coaster Chris.
Legends of the Fall.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters. Hello again, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I am your host this week. I am Toby. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Somewhere. Las Vegas. I told you not to drink the beer before we started.
You had to start before the rest of us.
Las Vegas, Nevada. And with me is...
This is Chris in Dallas, Texas.
This is Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And this week, in episode 27, we are discussing and drinking fall or autumn beers. Should be pretty interesting. That time of year, we want to catch it before it's too late.
Gone.
Before we go into winter, which it's...
All the leaves are brown.
Almost winter here in Las Vegas.
When the sky is gray. The beer's still cold.
All right. So, to kind of quickly break down what we should expect out of a fall or an autumn beer is, I mean, they're typically, they come from the late spring harvest. They hold them off. They kind of make them a little bit stronger, and then so they can last through the summer, because nobody really wants to brew in the summer. It's typically beers will get spoiled really quickly if they're being brewed in the summertime. It depends on where you are in the world, of course. But some typical styles of fall beers would be like Marzen, Oktoberfest, those. So by the time the fall rolls around, these beers are ready to be drank, and just before the next batch of beers are ready to be drank while those are brewing, you know, in time for winter. So today, in our fermentation conversation, we are doing the Sierra Nevada's 13th release of their Wet Hop Harvest, which is their fall release beer.
Wet hops.
As we know, wet hops are fresh hops. We did wet hops a couple weeks ago on the Beer Jargon Guy.
My last beer last week was a wet hop as well. He's very nice.
And then we'll do some hop topics today. And Chris, what are you drinking in your tasting flight?
This week I am drinking the Abita Beer Pecan Harvest Ale.
Are you sure it's not pecan?
I think it's pecan.
In the East Coast, it's pecan.
Okay. What about you, Mike?
I am going back to Weyerbacher. I don't know if you remember, but I did the Fireside Ale, and we did the Krauk Beers.
Spooky one.
And so I figured I'd try them again, and they have their Autumn Fest, and I'm going to try that.
Nice.
Yeah, I think you had said something about it tasted like licking a bonfire or something like that, or licking a fireplace.
No.
Yeah, no, you did.
No. Toby might have mentioned something like that about licking an ashtray or some kind of charred wood, but no, I thought it was good. I rated it pretty well, if I remember.
Yeah, actually you did.
So then we'll go into Tweet of the Week and do some backwash. We got a little bit of backwash this week, and roll into Last Call.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Do you guys have anything you want to say before we check out these beers? I wanted to mention what I did the past couple days, but Chris, you go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we're doing the Sierra Nevada 13th Harvest this week. I actually finally cracked open their estate ale.
Yummy.
That thing is really good. Yeah. It's very smooth. It's really nice because it's so well balanced, because Sierra Nevada tends to go a little hoppier with most things. I mean, the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is probably the hoppiest pale ale you can get. You know, it's as far as just a regular pale ale as opposed to an IPA.
Right.
And so it was like you took their regular pale ale and you just brought up the malt a little bit and brought down that hop bitterness just a tad. It's just really well balanced. Yeah. It's a great beer.
Excellent. I was in San Diego, and they just so happened to be celebrating San Diego Craft Beer Week this past week. So there was some, you know, some events going on, some pay events where you pay like $25 to get in at the, you know, it's for the San Diego Brewers Guild. A lot of bars around town will have some sort of a special. I went to O'Brien's in particular. They were focusing in on Monday night, they were focusing in on Green Flash Brewing Company. So they had this huge selection of Green Flash beers. They had one of their beers on cask, and I had their Brown Belgian, which was actually was pretty good.
Awesome.
So anyways, yeah, let's crack open the Sierra Nevada 13th Harvest Wet Hop.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so today we are trying Sierra Nevada's 13th release Harvest Wet Hop Ale. It's their 2009. So they've been doing this for 13 years now, I would assume, since it's they put the year on there.
Probably a good bet.
They could have been doing it for a year and a month. And they've just done it every month, and we haven't been paying attention.
We've been probably been missing out on some good beer. Okay, so Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, they're from Chico, California. They've been brewing since 1980. These guys are old school in the craft beer industry. They're one of the oldest. They're up there with Anchor Brewing. Their website is www.sierranevada.com. The style we're enjoying is an American IPA. ABV of 6.7%, 60 to 65 IBUs. Cellar this at 40 to 45. Serve it at 45 to 50. You can find these in 24-ounce bottles. Now, some of the ingredients would include the Cascade and the Centennial hops, two-row pale and caramel malts. And now, I know we've talked about two-row whatever type of malts. So I wanted to throw this one to the beer jargon guy to see if he could tell us about what is two row.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is two row. Two row malt is a type of malt that is the standard starting point for almost all beer recipes. Two-row malt adds a smooth, less grainy, more moderate flavor to the beer.
All right, cool.
Thanks, Beer Jargon Guy.
Thank you, Beer Jargon Guy.
So another interesting note about the Harvest Ale here is it was created in 1996. So that would make this 13 years. Okay. They got the they get their Cascade and Centennial hops from Washington's Yakima Valley. They're picked and shipped within 24 hours to Chico. So that would make it a wet hop ale. They haven't had time to dry out. Sweet. Go ahead and crack them, fellas.
Oh, I thought you'd never ask.
This is the
less
first
than 2.5 minutes.
The first wet hop ale.
Is it now?
Yeah, first American wet hop ale.
Nice.
Like the first American ale ever brewed.
So they basically 100% invented wet hop.
Wet hops. I think so. Either that or just the first ones to do it here.
So Rate Beer
seems
gave
a very
us,
American thing to do.
Rate Beer gave this a 98 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users have given it an A minus, and the Ahlstrom brothers gave it an A.
Mm.
What are you guys seeing?
I got about half a glass ahead.
I got about two fingers ahead, and then I have looking at the color, it's an amber, golden color. More amber.
Clear.
Very
clear. Yeah.
Gold. Very clear.
Little tiny bubbles.
Nice frothy off-white head.
Yeah, this is big head too. I got a super huge head. I mean, I am using a tulip glass, so you are going to get more head, but that's quite a bit.
Oh,
and it's lasting.
It smells so good. Got those nice,
yeah. It's got a
nice piney hops,
citrusy,
citrus, fresh, piney really hops, yeah.
Fresh hop smell.
Kind of has a little bit of the oiliness in there.
Mm. Yeah, those cascades are coming through.
There is a in the background. You get kind of a sweet malty character, also.
Yeah,
looks good.
Mm. I'm gonna sit here and smell it.
You do that. I'm drinking it.
I would like to mention that it was opened before the 3-minute mark.
The record for Toby.
Let's see if you take a sip in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah, lots of that oily bitterness.
Ooh. It's crazy because it's oily, yet it's very clean, and the hops are there. They're very, very present, but they're not...
Yep.
Overpowering.
Yep. I was just going to say that. Like when you first crack it open, you pour it on the nose, you get a lot of that piney, citrusy hop. So you expect that hop bitterness when you take a drink to really kind of hit you. And it doesn't. It sits there nicely. I mean, you obviously still taste it, but it's still very well balanced.
It doesn't have that dirty earthiness that I was expecting. It's much, much cleaner.
It's
earthy, but in a very clean sense. I'm getting some. It's got kind of a tea type bitterness. You know, it's
That's
almost
a good
like a
one.
Hop tea.
I like that. Yeah, tea. A little bit of tea leaf, kind of.
Hmm.
I do see what you're saying.
I can taste the malt, though, too.
If you take another whiff, after taking a few sips, and I take another whiff, there's a lot more fruitiness.
Yeah.
Kind of a fruity, malty.
Great. Like orange. Maybe like a little bit like orange marmalade type smell.
Super drinkable.
These are those big hoppy beers that we haven't had in a while.
Yeah. This, you know, this reminds me a lot of that. You know, I was talking earlier about the estate ale. This is a little more hoppy than the estate was, but along the same lines as this.
Raspberry?
I'm drinking hop tea.
Gina was picking up on some raspberry. On the nose or on the tongue? Oh, she says on both.
I'm getting more citrusy.
It smells really good.
Very good stinky hop in there. I'm not sure what it is, but...
Yeah, it's very nice.
Great lacing.
Yeah, great head retention, because I still have half a finger hanging on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a finger, solid finger still.
And it's still real
foamy,
frothy.
Creamy, yeah.
You guys were going to pair this?
Who's first here?
I was thinking a little bit of like apple and pear and some of more those type of fruits. And so I think like a good roast pork with like a barbecue pork, but not with a traditional barbecue sauce, more of like an apple.
Like a Caribbean jerk? No.
No, but like an apple juice sort of glaze.
Hmm.
Gotcha. Basting, so you get some of that apple sweetness. I think like a roast pork would go really good, or barbecue pork would go really good with this.
I'm thinking more along the lines, I think you can go a little bolder with this, and I was thinking Thai food. There's a red chili chicken that I like that would, I think, go pretty well with this. It's kind of that sweet and spicy dish that I think wouldn't be too powerful for this beer. It's pretty bold.
Yeah.
I can see this beer being enjoyed in the summertime. It's very clean. It's kind of refreshing. It's not too...
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we were sitting there talking about, you know, the taste and everything, one of the first thoughts that popped into my head was, like, sitting in the backyard on a lawn chair.
Yeah,
barbecue going after I just mowed the lawn and, yeah.
Along with that barbecue, I would throw in some sort of a salad, like a chicken salad with, Chris, you were talking about the fruit, you know, like maybe some pear slices in there, some tangerine and some apple thrown in with this, like, chicken salad thing. I don't know if that's even a real dish, but
sounds good to me.
It sounds something light because this is
like a balsamic vinegar,
yeah,
vinaigrette, something like that would go pretty good with this.
Yeah, not too bad. This is Sierra Nevada's 13th release, Harvest Wet Hop Ale, not to be confused with Southern Hemisphere Harvest, which I found that to be the huge confusion here when I would go around asking different liquor stores about
the right
it.
Beer.
People are like, oh yeah, we got it in the back. It's the, you know, it's the one from New Zealand, right? No. It's different. It's not the Southern Hemisphere. This is the Wet Hop Harvest.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Hey, Chris. You got some Hop Topics for me?
I think I just might. Good. My hop topic this week comes from usatoday.com.
Wait a minute.
What?
What happened to your book report?
So here's a little backstory on me, okay? I have never been the best student in the world. And quick little anecdote for you, okay? Fifth grade, all right? I'm required to do a book report.
Better added some good background music right now. Fifth grade, Chris.
fifth grade, okay? I'm required to do a book report. And this is the type of book report where you actually have to get up in front of class and actually tell the class about the book. So my book report, I pretty much read like the first chapter. I get up in front of the class, start to tell the book report, and I sort of give a summary of the first chapter, and then say, and the rest is history. Totally nice. True. Totally true story. So that being said, I didn't finish reading the book yet, so I can't exactly give a book report on a book that I haven't finished reading. So I'm still reading it.
He's not going to cheat.
Right. I have read about half the book, and I could have reported on half of it and said that the rest is...
And the rest is history.
Go back and watch Cheers, but that's not what I'm going to do.
And the Beer Coasters book report is history.
Delayed.
No, okay. It's not history.
Delayed.
I will hopefully be able to have it next week.
All right.
So what's your hop topic for today? That's what I want to know.
My hop topic for today is from USA Today. Today. Actually, it wasn't from today. It was from the 4th. But the title of the article is Beer with Extra Buzz on Tap Up to 16%.
What?
Oh. So basically, a growing number of states are moving to allow higher alcohol content in beer. Despite concerns from some substance abuse experts.
Mm. What do they know?
Exactly. Well, Alabama and West Virginia have passed laws increasing the legal alcohol by volume cap for beer from 6% to as high as 13.9%. this year.
Just not 14, though. 14 is too much.
Right. And the article goes on to talk about how the average content in beers, alcohol content, is usually around 4.65%. And in wine, it's 11.45 is the average.
Yeah.
Which is... So why is everybody so up in arms about the beer thing? And so it has a thing in here. Chuck Hurley, who is the CEO of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which... Why do you have a dude as the CEO of Mothers Against Drunk Driving? But anyway, they have a quote from him saying,
"Haven't you ever seen my two dads?"
Anyway, he said, "Our you're right, Toby." He said, "Our chief concern is that higher alcohol content brews will be properly." Our chief concern is that higher alcohol brews be properly labeled so people understand it takes fewer beers to become intoxicated.
Like, label it ale.
And my
in
thing
Texas?
Is
that doesn't make any sense.
What's that?
Like, label it ale if you're in Texas? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they have Paul Gatza, who's the director of the National Brewers Association. And his sort of retort to that is, you know, people that drink craft beer don't necessarily drink it to get drunk. They drink it because they appreciate the flavor of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, and my thing about especially that, the higher ABVs, you know?
Yeah, because and here's the thing is if it's people that are just out to get drunk, it's like, yeah, okay, label it so that they're aware of the higher alcohol content, blah, 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 blah. But those people aren't buying this beer because it's too expensive.
They're buying, like,
you know, they're not
the iced beers if they're concerned with the ABV at all, you know?
Right. Yeah, they're not paying $10 a bottle for beer. They're paying $5 a 12-pack.
Plus, so, if there's a person that's looking to drink a beer just to get drunk, their palate probably isn't, you know, up to a 13% beer or a 12% beer. It's like, you know, you get into these higher alcohol beers and then you just...
Yeah, it wouldn't even be beer
more,
to them.
It's a more of a serious beer drinker.
At that point.
They're not going to appreciate it. Yeah.
Right.
They won't like it.
Grab some...
Not even not appreciate it, but most of the time.
A couple Foda dogs for $3. You're good.
Dude, I went through a Bud Ice phase.
Yeah, I think we all did when we were about 15.
He just said
15.
That on air, folks. He just said that on air.
Dude, when you're young and you'll take just about anything you can get.
Young, dumb, and full of cut.
Okay, I wasn't going there, but anyway. Mike, what do you got?
I was
going
to say, I think we went through a Mickey's malt liquor phase.
Oh, I went through that one too.
Me too. Sadly enough.
All right. So my hot topic this week is from Philadelphia Weekly. Philadelphiaweekly.com. And the title on this article is, "When it comes to beer, stay local." And it says, "We have local beer at our airport. The Phillies have the best beer selection of any ballpark in the country. Many area distributors have a locals-only section, so why does it still seem like local brewers can't catch a break in the Philly pubs?" And
is
the article's
like
pretty good.
Separate water faucets?
What's that?
No, different kind of... Anyway. Sorry, it was a really off-color remark, but... Anyway, keep going.
So... It goes on to say, you know, it mentions all the stuff that Philadelphia has and where you can actually get good beers, but there's a little issue with them getting into local Philly pubs. If you want to check that out, go to philadelphiaweekly.com/drink, and you can read all about it.
There's got to be something similar like that going on in Vegas, because I know I've said it before. That you go to a local place here in Vegas and you don't find the local beer on tap. You got to go to the brewery. And if you want to drink local, I mean, it's not that that's a bad thing, but you know, when a city is 30 miles by 30 miles wide, it's like, you know, hey, why can't I cruise down the street and pick up my local craft beer from this bar?
Yeah.
You know, where's the local love? You know what I'm saying?
That does.
You know what I think that might be going on there, Toby, is Vegas being like, you know, primarily a destination. Yeah. A destination as opposed to a, you know, a place where people live.
Yeah, but so, the strip.
So their focus may be, well, we want to provide stuff for people that are, you know, so they can get stuff that they're used to.
Right.
Well, the strip is only a small portion of Las Vegas. I mean, yeah, there's so much. I mean, yes, most of the people here are transplants from all over the country, all over the world. But the local scene, there are a few actually really good local breweries, but I'm just waiting for the day that, you know, that,
well, Tanea that, made that a
maybe
little
Las
dent,
Vegas
right?
needs a
like
taste.
You can get some of the Tanea stuff on the strip, like at some of the...
Yeah, there's Tanea. They're the ones draft, that you can find cool. on the strip, which is awesome. And there is one place on the strip I know of that's got a great craft beer selection.
Main Street
but as far
has
as
like
local
a brew
places,
pub, right? And,
Main Street has a 777. There's a place right off the strip called Ellis Island. I haven't had a chance to check them out yet.
Monte Carlo has a brew pub.
Man, right? I want to go to Vegas.
Well, Monte Carlo
had that brew pub. I don't know if it's still there, but last time I was there, they had the brew pub down in the bottom.
Uh-huh. And now I heard that Monte Carlo, well, there's a, what is it, Inland Empire Brewing Company supposedly has all of the old Monte Carlo tanks and all that stuff. So I thought once I heard that, oh, Monte Carlo must be shut down. But then I just heard recently that, you know, the Beer Advocate guys were here in town and they went to the Monte Carlo to meet up. So at the brewery. So I thought, oh, well, maybe it's still here.
Interesting.
Yeah. I got to go down there and check it. I don't go to the strip enough. You know, that's my problem, I guess.
Well, I'd imagine most people that live in Vegas don't go to the strip very often.
True. Yeah, unless you work there. Yeah. Or you have friends or family in town, you usually don't go to the strip.
Unless you have a problem.
You want to pay those high prices. So my hop topic is about an upcoming festival in San Diego. It's a pretty popular festival. It's actually their 13th annual. Whoa, 13th annual, 13 release harvest, 13th annual
bring it back.
Whoa, crazy. 13. Okay. San Diego's having the 13th annual Strong Ale Festival at Pizza Port in Carlsbad. And they've had this, you know, for 13 years now. It's a huge deal. It's from 4 to 11 on Friday, December 4th. And it's from 11 to 11 p.m. on Saturday, December 5th. There's going to be over 75 beers with 8% or more ABV on tap and some cask conditioned ales as well. $30 gets your admission into the festival with 6 4-ounce tasters with additional tastes at $1 each. Commemorative
six
logo glass.
6 4-ounce tasters for...
Yeah, for $30.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, they're strong ales.
I know, but regardless of the alcohol content, like that's
It's pretty crazy.
A $30 admission with only 6 tasters. That's not right.
Well, I wonder if it's similar to some of the other ones. Right. We've been to some other ones that it'll be that much for 6, and then if you want 12, it's only $10 more. That kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, like Stone, I remember it being like $25 and you got like 10 tasters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know, 6 for $30, that's, what is that, $5 for a 4-ounce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beer, that's...
but apparently it goes off. I haven't made it to one of them, but they're
don't get me
popular.
Wrong, I'm not saying I wouldn't pay and go, but...
Yeah, I think we'd all go to Pizza Port. If we had the opportunity to go to Pizza Port now and drink some beer, I think we'd all do that.
I love Pizza Port pizza.
You could go with the $40 VIP admission. It gets you into the festival 3 hours early on Friday to enjoy some early tapping of the beers. with limited ticket sales, plus everything else listed above. Go to pizzaport.com/realalefestival2009.
On a side note from that, Pizzaport is an outstanding brewery on top of that.
Yes. I agree.
Because they're Pizzaport and Lost Abbey.
Port Brewing, right, if you guys ever around. See them around. Port Brewing. Pick them up, because Port Brewing is
I actually
Pizza
have a
Port.
Bottle cap that says Pizzaport Brewing Company.
That's what they
used to be called. Yeah. Now they're just Port Brewing.
So, Chris, I wanted to mention, if you think that that's expensive, I got a little just-in news. And a fire-damaged bottle of beer was found in the wreckage of the Hindenburg, you know, the Zeppelin that blew up. And it's expected to fetch up to 5,000 euros at auction. One-eighth bottle of burnt beer for 5,000 euros.
Oh, is the beer still in it?
It doesn't say. I'm assuming. It says fire damage, but it could just be the label and the, you know, who knows. But that's pretty crazy.
Sweet.
Talk about a beer collector's. that'd be kind of cool to have. Yeah, this came off the Hindenburg. Anyway, I thought I just have to throw that in there.
I'm getting some roasted roastiness.
Oh, the humanity is
awesome.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Video games! Come on, Mike, it's only 12:30.
All right.
Sorry, we got a little sidetracked there because me and Toby were kind of talking about games in between the break there. And
they don't even do that anymore.
Mike was getting
bored.
Video
games!
No, it's still in there.
No, they have the whole new video game
thing. I know,
thing.
It's new, but they still do it at the very end of it.
For those of you listeners who are wondering what we're talking about, it's the Totally Rad Show. It's a podcast.
Yes.
You can find it on iTunes as well. And we listen to it.
You get a lot of inspiration from them, even though they don't talk about beer.
Yeah. Yeah, but they have a good format, and so that's sort of the format that we follow.
It is. It's great.
Anyway, back to what we actually talk about. My beer this week is Abita Beers, Pecan,
Nuts,
Harvest Ale. This would be from Abita Beer out of Abita Springs, Louisiana.
You Abita kid with a baseball bat?
This is just outside of New Orleans.
Abita Brat. That's what it is.
Website is www.abita.com. The style is an American brown ale. It has an ABV of 5.0%.
That's American.
IBUs of 20. couldn't find much in the way of ingredients, so I'm assuming that it has hops, malts, water, yeast, and probably some pecan in there somewhere.
No, pecan.
Oh, pecans.
Or pecan.
Pecans. It has a rate beer rating of 32 out of 100.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
And a beer advocate rating of B- from the users. And the Alstrom brothers have not weighed in on this beer. So, yeah, B-, you know, it's an average beer.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Kind of like
average
my,
for all you pecan lovers.
Or for you people that don't like doing book reports, that's sort of the grade you would get.
Oh, you get less than that.
You might get less than
B-, that's not bad.
Yeah.
For a book report where you say, and the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Ooh.
Do you smell nuts?
Oh, so pouring it into a pint glass. I've got about 2 fingers of head.
I thought that was a pie tin.
It's a fairly fluffy head with
The frisbee.
Small bubbles.
Tiny bubbles. Exactly. In my beer.
Pretty golden in color. A little bit of brown tint.
Golden brown.
Yes. On the nose, there's a...
Pecans.
Pecans.
Yeah, kind of. It has sort of a... Like a peanut brittle.
Ooh.
Scent.
Pecan brittle.
Yeah, maybe pecan brittle.
Pecan brittle. Or pecans. Pardon me.
I don't like pecans, but I think that a pecan brittle might be pretty good.
Or pecan
pie.
Yeah,
it's got a sweetness that I'm picking up on. A little bit of sip.
Waiter, I would like to partake in a piece of your pecan pie.
It's difficult because the only, really only, you know, other nut beer that I've tasted would be the
Crazy Dave's Teabag Brew.
No. Huh. The hazelnut from Rogue.
Rogue.
Which
Rogue,
is
Rogue. It sounded like there was an echo there. Rogue.
Freaking awesome. Back on topic here for a second, people.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about beer. We're in the middle of the country. Steers and beers.
Mm. There's a sweetness to it and a little bit of molasses. Kind of a toasty flavor.
Are you reaching? Kind of sounds like you're reaching now.
No, I'm trying
it
to.
Seems like it's kind
trying
of thin.
To pin it down. No, that actually it's interesting you mentioned that because it does have sort of a thin mouthfeel. There's not a whole lot going on as far as lingering flavors. I'm not. Yeah, I don't really like it. It has almost a lagery metallic taste to it. And I'm pretty. I mean, this is an ale, isn't it? Or did I just?
Pecan lager.
Pecan lager.
It doesn't say. So I'm, no, it's a flavored ale. But it has sort of a lager metallic taste to it. Very little hops. Kind of a buttery pecan flavor.
See, now you're making it sound better.
Yeah, but not in a good way. It tastes...
Yeah, it's an ale.
It tastes like if you were to try to simulate those flavors. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know.
More
exactly
artificial.
What you mean. Yep.
Yeah.
Than the actual flavors themselves. It's like you tried to figure out, okay, what does a pecan taste like? So I want to try to nail down what that taste is. And so I'm going to add whatever ingredients I need to add to it to make it taste like that.
Yeah.
So you get the taste, but it doesn't really taste like it.
Would you...
I know that may sound...
Pair it with anything?
Off.
No, I know what you're saying. I totally hear you. I know I've had beers like that before.
If I was going to pair this with anything... Oh, I'm going to go really simple.
Bowl of nuts.
Pecan pie.
Really?
Wow.
So then you can, so you can taste the fake with the all natural?
Yeah, so I can taste what a real pecan tastes like versus the fake. You know, and they probably use real pecans in this, but I don't know what it is that's giving it that sort of metallic, artificial flavor in it.
It says that they use natural oils from the Louisiana pecans.
Mm.
So I don't know how they're getting these oils, if they're getting the pecans themselves and creating the oils from that, or if they're just like, yeah, this is a pecan oil that we got from wherever.
Yeah.
But if you're, what do you think that the pecan pie would, how do you think that that would... meld well? Do you think?
I mean, I would hope that it would bring out the nuttiness out of the beer a little bit better.
Right. Does the beer have good carbonation and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's not bad.
A good mouthfeel and liveliness. So when you're eating the pie and you have the sweetness of the pie, and you also kind of go with the liveliness of the carbonation or no?
You see what he's trying to do, Mike.
Oh, I'm watching. I'm
trying to drag it
I'm
out.
I'm watching he's the time tick by.
He's trying to drag it out, and he's trying to make up for the backwash that he got. Which we'll see later.
Okay, I'll be quick. I'll be quick on mine.
Okay.
I'll be quick on mine.
All done.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Won't you be a craft beer drinker?
Right, it's my turn. Coming at you from the East Coast, I got Weyerbacher's Autumn Fest. That is from Weyerbacher Brewery, and their website is www.weyerbacher.com. That is weyerbacher.com.
The ABV. Can you repeat that for me, please?
No, he listened to the podcast on on Friday. The ABV on this beer is 5.4%. The ingredients on this beer is the
malt, pecans.
All right. Since we got that out of the way, I'll talk about the Rate Beer and Beer Advocate. Rate Beer rates this 60 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B, and the Ahlstrom Brothers rate this a B+. Just in case you wanted to hear the real ingredients, this, as far as the style, they're saying that this is an Oktoberfest-ish style. And I actually put that, but it's kind of their own take on the Oktoberfest style. It's they use Vienna and Munich malts. They don't really mention anything else besides that. I'm going to crack it open.
Finally. Jeez.
Like
Oktoberfestivus.
Whole minute and 45 seconds. All right. Now I'm pouring.
Chug-a-lug.
I hear some foam.
Very light,
foamy,
kind of golden color. Trying to get the whole beer in the glass here.
It's about foamy, homie.
Finger and a half of head. It's kind of a darker golden color. It's got some carbonation sticking to the sides of the glass. Relatively clear, though.
You must have a really clean glass.
It's a very, like a sweet... sweet, bready kind of aroma to it.
Some pun to say.
It's very, very sweet maltiness. I'm going to take a sip.
That's all you got for the aroma?
Yeah, it's kind of... yeah, very vague, sweet breadiness.
Like sweet breadiness or sweet breadiness?
Take your pick.
Brains!
It's, on the taste, it's bready, but it kind of has a little bit of that lager-ish, metallic-y taste to it. And it says...
And yours is an ale as well?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
It does.
Yeah, it's weird because I do like these the sweet beers maltiness. These beers are supposed to be... Not lagers, you know. These are supposed to be like,
yeah,
you know, more of an ale from the spring to the fall. You know, there's no cold fermentation going on here.
You know, I think, though, a lot of breweries with German styles, they kind of mix and match their yeast sometimes that I don't know if I'm not actually, I don't agree with it, but I think some of them do use... similar yeast, regardless if they're ales or lagers. I'm trying to kind of come up with some kind of specific smell and taste, but it's tough. I mean, I get some kind of spicy aromas as well. Heat them up, a little spicy taste. Maybe some cinnamon.
Oh.
But
wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. But the metallic taste is a bit dominant right now.
So well, there's a lot of, you know, when you talk about autumn ales and you talk about harvest style ales, there's a lot of complexity that goes into that description. Because Toby, you introduced the style as being, you know, the autumn style was more of an Oktoberfest Marzen style where they try to use autumn, but then there's also, you know, with the newer breweries and stuff, when you, a lot of it goes into the packaging and the labeling of it, and it's more, when they say autumn, it isn't necessarily about, you know, well, this is the style that was, right, you know, harvested in the spring. It was more, it's more, well, this is the style that evokes the feeling of autumn, you know? So Mike, mm-hmm. when you right. say something it's- like cinnamon, you know, that starts to get into the fall and the, you know, even late, early winter type
yeah.
tastes.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely when originally, I mean, if you're thinking more traditional stuff, you know, of the Marzen and, right. and traditionally how it happens in the fall. Yes. And of course, now that you have added flavors, added spices and stuff to kind of reminisce a fall feeling, or, you know, which is awesome. I love.
All right.
And it's so true, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, if you're going to pair it with anything.
It's tough. You know, my food pairing that I had initially, I don't really agree with right now just because of how sweet this is coming off right now. I think maybe a good grilled sausage would be pretty good with this. You know, I think my original food pairing was kind of, this is a good hot dog and a beer type beer, but there's too much sweet maltiness in here, I think, to be able to be that. I think it needed to be more of a crisper, little more hops and Hardy. A little less malt. So,
okay.
So that's that for me.
Awesome.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Whoa.
Go, Mike.
No, Chris is awake now. It doesn't work.
Oh, all right. So today I am trying Mendocino Brewing Company's Autumn Lager. It's brand new from our friends at Mendocino. It's their fall seasonal. That's Mendocino Brewing Company out of Ukiah, California. They've been brewing since 1983, so they're not far behind Sierra Nevada and Anchor and those like old school craft beer people from, yeah.
From a long time ago.
United States.
Long, long time ago.
www.mendobrew.com. The style is an Oktoberfest lager.
Oktoberfest.
It's got 6.1% ABV. It's got, I'm not sure what the IBUs are. I would sell it this pretty cold since it's a lager. Oktoberfest lager. So like 40 to 45, I guess. You can find these in six packs. The date of introduction of this beer was September 15th of 2009. So yes, it is brand new.
I was supposed to mention that too, that my beer was only available from August to November. Oh, sorry.
The ingredients that they're using in this one is they use a Vienna malt, Tettnang and Hallertau hops. So this is like German all the way. Rate Beer gave this a 53 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users, which there were two Beer Advocate users, gave it a B. Out of two people, it averaged a B. The Ahlstrom brothers have not tried it. So after I pour it here, I've got very bubbly, semi-cloudy kind of just amber color. But a finger and a half to two fingers of frothy off-white head. Looks very nice.
It's very nice.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
This has a very cereal, bready malt character, real big on the nose. You know, like if you take a tour of a brewery, it's like one of the first smells you get when you're touring a brewery is that really like cereal kind of
smell.
Malty smell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the first thing I pick up on. A little bit of sweetness.
It's like the greatest thing.
Maybe some
about
honey.
Visiting a brewery is that smell when you first walk in, you're just like.
I remember when I was a kid, I was really little, and my parents and I, my whole family, we were traveling up the West Coast, and we went through through Washington, and we went to the Olympia Brewery. Yes. I was like 10 years old, and my dad takes us on this tour of the Olympia Brewery, and I remember walking in there going, oh, man, this stinks.
We did that.
And now I'm just like, oh, it smells so good.
Well, the last time we went to Stone down there, we tried to take my daughter into the tour, and she wasn't having it.
No. Yeah, there might be some honey a little bit in the background on the smell, but it's just that really cereal kind of barley, grape nuts, like right there up front.
There's no grape. There's no nuts. Why do they call it grape nuts?
It tastes a lot like it smells, with some metallic dryness to it.
Oh, lager. You metallic-y lager.
There is still some kind of sweetness in there, a little bit of honey.
Toby's
not too bad.
Surprisingly pleased. Like, it's a lager and it's sweet and I kind of like it.
It's kind of full-bodied though it is very reminiscent of an Oktoberfest with that maltiness to it. Yeah. But it does have that lingering lager metallic-iness too. I'm going to pair this.
Some roasted bird.
Hair.
Memory of Mendocino.
No, when I had this earlier, when I had this before, I thought some sort of spicy Mexican food. But now I'm thinking of I'm thinking more traditional German bratwurst, sauerkraut. Yeah. Some dumplings. I think this would go well. But I think it would also go well with some spicy Mexican food because it does have that sweet maltiness in there as well that would help mellow out a little bit of spiciness. So, yeah. Oh,
Mexican spicy dumplings with sauerkraut.
Sweet.
Try to find that in a burrito.
Where do I find it?
So that's Mendocino Brewing Company's Fall Seasonal Autumn Lager.
Marcio says,
walking around the house butt naked, cooking some hamburger helper, cheesy macaroni, and drinking a beer. Yep. Official day off.
It's a dream of the week. Dream of the week. It's the dream of the week. Dream of the week.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the beer coaster's email and hotline. Yeah.
Backwash. Time for some beer coaster's email.
Backwash.
And hotline.
So, I'm going to throw it real quick to Chris. Chris, you had some backwash from somebody out there in Texas.
Yeah, I got a little bit of a backwash here from Tom in Dallas, and he sent us quite a bit of backwash actually, and I think we're gonna save it up to use it in future shows. But I wanted to go back to the earliest one that he sent us, which was for episode 23, which was our chocolate stout show, which actually the show that I wasn't here for. But anyway, he says, y'all kept talking about how you'd pair ice cream with your chocolate stout.
He said y'all.
Did you know that the Flying Saucer Beer Emporium serves a Young's Double Chocolate Stout beer float? I know Young's ain't American, but come on, it's a beer float.
He also said, did ya?
Yeah. He says, and I've had it a few times. It's a yummy.
I've had a small quarter milkshake before.
Yeah, I've never had. I really want to try that Young's Chocolate Stout beer float, so I think I might have to take his advice and take a trip down to the Flying Saucer and try some of that out.
You know what I had recently that I think everybody should try is if you pick up some North Coast Old Rasputin, Russian Imperial Stout, hold on to that for 6 months or so. That mellows out and it becomes, so good. Real creamy and, it's awesome. I had a bottle of Old Rasputin sitting in my fridge for since June, and I don't know how long ago that was actually bottled, and I just opened it probably a week ago, and it was awesome.
Does it kind of mellow out and give you more like a wine-like flavor? Because I think we have some more backwash from Crazy Dave where he talks about the virtues of some sort of new wine that he had. Yeah. I don't know. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Let's listen in.
Beer Coasters Left, this is Crazy Dave and
Jim.
We're here at our annual jazz party where we're drinking nothing but
fucking wine.
Right, there ain't no beer here. Thought we'd just give you a call, say what up, have a good time. Hope you guys are having a good one. Enjoy your beer. We're having a better time.
Yeah.
Experimental.
So, yeah, it sounds like you had a great time with your
butt fucking wine.
Let me reiterate, butt fucking wine.
I'm thinking that's not a wine that I really wanted to try, but no. I'm glad you guys had a great time with it. We'll stick to our beer. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, Beer Coast, this is Crazy Dave. I think I have a correction for you guys. Toby was talking about on last week's episode about the Carl Strauss, the Big Bomber, being their first 22-ounce bottle, and I'm not sure it's actually correct because I remember back in the day going there and getting Red Trolley because they used to not be able to sell. They used to not sell it in the stores in six-packs, and a very short limited release of it did come out in the 22-ounce bottles, and we were actually lucky enough to be able to grab a whole case of it because we had a hookup at the bar. Anyhow, as far as I remember, I think a few of the guys maybe that went to Carl Strauss might be able to back me up on that. Anyhow, I think that's the correction. You're saying that was their first ever 22-ounce bottle. Bye.
Hey, Beer Coasters, this is Crazy Dave. Got a little bit of wine/beer news for you guys. You and your listeners might want to check out the latest copy of the Wine Enthusiast magazine. It's the November 2009 issue. They actually have an article in here called Pairings from Coast to Coast. Chefs and sommeliers are recognizing that beer and cheese are very happy companions, presenting a guide to the top matches of foamage and fromage. Anyhow, check it out on page 70 of Wine Enthusiast, November 2009. You might be interested in it. Later. Hey, Beer Coach, just heard something kind of exciting coming out from one of my favorite breweries, Dogfish Head, and they're doing a collaboration actually with Sierra Nevada, and looks like they're going to be brewing a beer called the Life and Limb. Anyhow, hope to hear about that soon or looking to see for it. It's supposed to be released sometime this month. I guess I'll call back and let you know when I get some. Talk to you later. Bye.
Last call. We haven't had that much to drink.
What?
Yo, Chris.
What up?
From Dallas, Texas. Let me hear some pint ratings from the beers you drank this evening.
For my pint ratings, I was going to give the...
Ratings?
No.
Right?
For my Sierra Nevada 13th release harvest wet hop ale, which I think gives another literacy class to the longest beer name.
It is pretty close, yeah.
I'm going to give it 4 pints out of 5.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this beer. I think it's very well balanced. I think it's nice and hoppy, but retains some of that maltiness. I really appreciated this beer. So, for my tasting flight, the Abita Pecan Ale, I really, really, really dislike this beer. In fact, I still have half a beer sitting here.
Wow.
I'm going to give it 1 pint out of 5. No.
Wait a minute. Stop the presses. That is a Beer Coasters new Beer Coasters thing. What?
For sure, I was going to say Beer Coasters first. It was like, that's a
yes,
Beer Coasters.
Beer Coasters
new
first.
Beer Coaster thing.
Is it, though? I think we've given 1 pint ratings before.
No, I don't think so. I tried to give it 1.5 on my pumpkin, and you convinced me to give it a 2.
Could you just said, because you said that it was just kind of, you know, there. But, like, I really actually don't like the flavor of this. So, I mean, this is different. I really just don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even finish it.
One.
So, giving it a 1 pint out of 5. So.
At least you gave it 1.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't make me vomit, so I guess there's that going for
yeah,
it.
I guess it deserves a pint. Jeez, that deserves a pint right there.
Yeah.
Doesn't make you vomit.
Vomit.
Just to give you an idea of how sophisticated our rating system is.
If you don't vomit, it's at least 1.
So, Mike, what'd you think of yours?
Let's see. Well, I would like to vomit a little less on my beer. For the Sierra Nevada, I rated it pretty high. I rated it a 4. It's a good, like, really hoppy beer, but it wasn't overly bitter. I enjoyed it. It was a good, really chewy, fresh, hoppy beer that I haven't had in a while, and I miss those type of beers.
Yes.
Very reminiscent of the San Diego beers. And for the Weyerbacher Autumn Fest, I gave it a 2. It's
not good.
Damn, 2.
I just don't think
rated beers.
I just don't think this one measures up. I don't think it measures up as a fall seasonal, as an Oktoberfest, a Marzen, and not even, which I didn't mention in my review, an amber lager, which I think this probably closely resembles. It's kind of a sweet amber lager, but I think the balance and everything of this is just all off. None of the flavors are excessively bad. It just doesn't work for me. So that's my rating on that, is 2.
Who just shut windows down? So with that, I thought the Sierra Nevada, you know what? I think this might even be a Beer Coasters first. We are all giving the same beer same
beer
rating.
Coasters I've never even heard of windows being used on the Beer Coasters podcast.
Yeah, that too. I also give Sierra Nevada's Harvest 13th release 4 out of 5 pints.
Ooh,
I just thought
fours.
It was pretty good, well balanced. I mean, it was a little more on the hoppy side.
Come on. A 4 is better than pretty good, pal. Come on.
But it was very drinkable. I think that's one of the reasons that I gave it a 4 out of 5. It was very drinkable. I mean, it just, you know, it wasn't too hoppy, it wasn't too thick or syrupy. You know, it was drinkable, but on the hoppy side, a little bit, you know.
Sitting at O'Brien's outside kind of beer.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally do that beer in the summertime. I mean, it is a fall release beer, but summertime, I think that would be excellent. As far as the Mendocino Autumn Lager goes, I actually gave it a 3 out of 5. I think that it did represent the Oktoberfest very well. It kind of had this medium balance, you know, with the malty Oktoberfest with the little bit of the metallic-y lager-ness to it. So it actually was, I would say it's pretty, it's decent. It's not bad. So I'd give it 3 out of 5. If you guys want to give some individual shout-outs, I wanted to mention Mendocino Brewing Company, MendoBrew.com, SierraNevada.com, my Hop Topic today. You can go to PizzaPort.com/Real Ale Festival 2009 if you want to make it out there for the Real Ale Festival. It's a little pricey, but you know what? I think it would be worth it, and I think you might have some fun.
Yeah, if I...
It's cheaper than buying an old Hindenburg beer, that's for
that's
sure.
That's true.
An old Hindenburg beer.
For my websites, for my 1 pint rating beer, it'd be www.abita.com.
Don't even bother.
Yeah, but I mean,
/... Don't even bother.
Yeah, I've had other stuff by Abita that's actually pretty good. So I mean, their Turbo Dog Amber, which I did a while back, is decent.
And the Purple Haze. Yeah.
So I mean, it's not like they make, you know, just bad beers all the way around. But I really didn't like this one. Mike, cool. You got any?
I would. I don't know. I'd throw Weyerbacher out there because they're a good brewery. They seem to have some good beers, and I really, really like that Fireside Ale. So check them out, Weyerbacher.com.
And we're also on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod. My individual Twitter account, after all the fishing that happened to me, I would like to apologize to all of my followers. But if you'd still like to follow me, everything is okay now. I am Beer Coaster Toby.
And I would be B Coaster Chris.
And I'm Beer Coaster Mike.
We're also on Facebook. If you just search for Beer Coasters Podcast on Facebook, you can find us there and you can become fans of the show.
Yay!
We have individual emails as well. If you want to individually email us, I am Toby at beercoasterspodcast.com.
Chris at beercoasterspodcast.com.
And Mike at beercoasterspodcast.com.
You can also email us backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. Or you can leave...
That's feedback.
Yeah.
In case you don't know what backwash is.
In case you don't know what the backwash segment is. You can leave us audio backwash or feedback at a couple different ways. You can either call us at 972-914-8502, or if you go to our website, you can, down at the bottom, there's a little call me button. You click on that and you put in your phone number and it calls you. You can also, on that same website, post your comments on the website for each episode.
I love technology.
And that website, in case you were wondering what that was beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes. You can search Beer Coasters. You'll find us there. And you can check the website on Monday for next time on Beer Coasters. See what we're
Monday
actually going to try. Yes.
Provided everybody gets their information to the person that needs it.
And don't forget to tell your friends. We love our listeners and we wish we had so many more. So don't forget to tell your friends. If you have a friend that's into beer and you think you could turn them on to some craft beer, some different tastes, some different flavors, some bolder choices, tell your friends. And thank you for listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast.
Support your local brewery. Drink local. As always, be responsible drinkers. Don't drink and drive.
What was it? Always please drink local. And for comments, suggestions, your favorite beer, your favorite bar, we want to know these things. So just email us some backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com.
Right.
Cheers.
All right.
Cheers,
guys. Cheers,
buddy.
That was the drunkest glass clinging I've ever heard. Metallic-y lager.